Right. Well, this is a title that I was asked to speak about, Celebrate by Rejoicing. And I suppose, as some of you said earlier, we've got a little bit of celebrating to do in almost winning the Eurovision Song Contest. did we have to go through Brexit in order to do that? I don't know. And I did wonder whether perhaps this series of about celebrating was chosen because the Queen's Platinum Jubilee was coming up. Well, that's good. We've got things to think about. And I know the children are thinking about things that you can be happy and joyful about, and things that you can celebrate. But the older you get, the more cynical you get. If we can have the next slide, please. Is this what you have in mind for the Queen's Platinum Jubilee? I looked up the word rejoice because we're kind of all familiar with it, but what does it actually mean? And the dictionary said it was to take delight in something. He said to joy in something. Well, that's not a lot of help, because if you haven't defined joy, then you don't know what it is. But it said to take delight in something. I thought, well, that's worth remembering. So as we celebrate, we're taking delight in something. We're taking joy in something. And well, I just wonder how temporary it all is, really, because after the Queen's Platinum Jubilee thing's over, you've probably just got empty streets and loads of litter and washing up to do. So, you know, a lot of the things that we enjoy, that we celebrate, they're very, very temporary and almost meaningless. And it reminds me of probably King Solomon, who wrote Ecclesiastes, whoever it was that wrote this Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes. Remember what he said, and it's on the next slide. He conducted this experiment, really. He, being wealthy and in a position of power, was able to exploit any kind of pleasure, anything that he thought would bring him delight. And this is just an excerpt from chapter 2. You read the whole thing for yourself, you see that he did all sorts of things. But he said at the end of it all, it was just like chasing after wind. You know, these things were okay at the time. They were a distraction, if you like. They brought a little bit of pleasure, things that we could delight in. But in the end, it was empty. It left him feeling empty. No satisfaction. And I wonder whether there's some of the things that we celebrate are like that. Do we take momentary joy in them, delight in them, but they don't actually bring satisfaction? Well, the passage we had read to us, Paul wrote to the church in Philippi, gives us specific instructions to rejoice. If we look at the next slide, you'll see it's rejoice in the Lord always. And then he wants to emphasize it. He says, I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, sometimes that's easier said than done, isn't it? Do we experience all the time that peace of knowing that God is in control and that we can trust him? And actually, we can delight in him and take joy in him. When we don't, it's because perhaps we're taking our eyes off. And I don't say that critically, because I'm the world's worst. And I know how hard it can be. Paul goes on to say, the next slide, finally, brothers, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. So we can rejoice in the Lord, but we can also rejoice in all those things which reflect God's goodness, and which we can take joy in. So that's Paul's instruction to the church at Philippi. And of course, these letters were meant to be read around other churches as well. And they come down to us today as true as ever. And in fact, the whole of Paul's letter, if we look at the next slide, seems to be infused with this.